Fakes the handoff. He drives the lane. He takes it to the house. Bouncing off defenders. He just laid it in. He just put it up and in. 56 seconds to play. Oh, by the way.
It's time. Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Game 7 is over. It's an instant classic.
It's the TC Martin Show.
A three for the game.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
You gotta pinch me!
The doctor is now in.
A very good, terrible Tuesday to you, T.C. Martin. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, of course, streaming live, tcmartinshow.com, lvsportsnetwork.com. Tonight, we get it going. Western Conference Finals, game number one. Blazers, Warriors, no KD. That's okay. Love the Warriors in this spot tonight. My reasoning? Portland, emotional game seven on the road. Haven't traveled back to the Pacific Northwest. Went straight to Oakland. The line 7.5. Don't worry about it, Magnum. Lay it. Lay the lumber. Take the Warriors tonight. No KD. That's okay. So looking forward to that. Bill Cartwright calls today and wants to know what the line is. So I tell him it's 7.5. He goes, okay, what's the prediction? I need a final score. I go, final score? Now I got to factor in pace and everything? What are you talking about? He goes, I need to put you on speakerphone. So there's a bunch of people, I guess, at USF, and he wanted me to break down the game for them with the score. And I go, what are you doing, man? First of all, he calls me, interrupts a great song by The Emotions. And... because, you know, like when you're driving.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I got, and then when I get a phone call coming in, then it cuts off the song.
Yeah. So no, I hate that. Yeah.
So I was really bummed.
Yeah, you got your Bluetooth going in the car.
Yeah.
You're rocking out.
Yeah.
And then usually it's not Bill Cartwright calling me. Usually it's someone asking for money. So.
Well, this guy's asking me for a score.
Well, that's kind of like asking you for money.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah, you better get a cut of that.
So I had to break down the game to all these ham and eggers. I could just imagine you guys are sitting around some oval table, the big conference room, and he goes, stop! We gotta get the lowdown from Vegas!
Well, it's USF people, too, so...
Yeah,
that should be interesting.
I thought you'd enjoy that. Anyway, so Warriors and Blazers tonight, and then Milwaukee will take on Toronto tomorrow night. So this is prime time, NBA... action just about every night now. So game one tonight, they'll tip it off at 6 o'clock in Oakland. Looking forward to that. All right. A little bit later on, we're going to talk to Albert Hall, the director of the NBA Summer League. You know, that's coming. That's right around the corner. Coming your way July 5th through the 15th, Thomas and Mack Center, Cox Pavilion. 11 days, 83 games. Albert Hall will join us as we talk about the NBA Summer League. Some new additions this year as well, too, besides all 30 NBA teams. So we'll give you that a little bit later on. And plus, we'll give you a chance to win tickets. You can go to any day you want of the NBA Summer League. So hang tight. We'll give those tickets away a little bit later on. All right. NBA Draft Lottery is tonight as well, too. Are you excited about that at all? Or should we just say the Zion Williamson sweepstakes?
Yeah, or Zion Williamson. Yeah. Either or, right? Yeah, I guess a little bit because I have a lot of friends who were New York Knicks fans growing up back there. So, obviously, for those guys, I'm curious to see if the Knicks are able to get that first pick because they've been irrelevant for a really, really, really long time. And a lot of people that I know who follow the team think that this is the year where they get back to relevance, and it's going to start with Zion Williamson. Like I told my friend today, I said, listen, the best-case scenario for the Knicks – they get the second pick. They get Ja Morant, who I think is going to be a better player in the NBA than Zion Williamson.
Whew, man, the Knicks, just the thought of the Knicks, I just start to chuckle. And when I hear everyone talking about Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, they're going to go to the world's most famous arena. Are you kidding me? Nobody wants to go play for the Knicks. We're going on 2 decades now that we've been hearing this type of rhetoric.
So you're not buying the whole, if you can...
no.
Do it here, you can do it anywhere.
No, we've heard, how long have we heard that? Seriously. Yeah,
well, I mean, how long has it been? What was it, 2001? The Knicks went to the NBA Finals. They lost to San Antonio. Was that 2000, 2001? It was the year I moved to Vegas, so I think it was 2000, maybe 1999.
And then And then when, you know, Phil Jackson went there, renewed excitement that now it's going to happen. You still got the same moronic owner. I was going to say something else, but I caught myself
there. Good thing, because I don't
have... James Dolan.
Yeah, he's a buffoon.
So come on. Come on. Who has the most ping pong balls tonight?
I think the Knicks, they said the Knicks and Cavaliers both have a 14% chance to get the... If Cleveland gets it...
Knicks aren't getting it. They'll find a way to screw up the ping pong balls.
No frozen envelope?
You're not going to happen.
Are they going to actually... When will the NBA get it right and actually show the ping pong balls?
We used to show the ping pong balls.
Yeah, well, then they had to fix it so that the Knicks could get Pat Ewing. Frozen envelope, all that stuff, right?
Oh, jeez.
I don't buy into that stuff, but that's always the funny story.
The Terrible Tuesday. We're off and running already.
It's Terrible Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's Terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
All right, let's start in the NBA. As the Warriors arrived in Houston for Game 6, Steph Curry wanted to get off the plane. He wanted to go work on his shot because he was slumping, as you know, in that series. So he went over to the Toyota Center after they landed to get up some shots. And Curry and the Warriors went about proper protocol. They called the Rockets. They called the Toyota Center. And they said, hey, we'd like to get Steph in so he can come and shoot around. Okay, no problem. So he made a reservation. Not in a restaurant, but he made a reservation inside the 18,000-seat Toyota Center so he can go get up some shots. This is a standard procedure. Teams let the visiting team come in, get shots up, do whatever they want to do. So he made a reservation for between 7 and 8 p.m. the night before game number 6. Chris Paul got word of this, went over to the arena, and what's he do? Canceled his reservation. He canceled Steph Curry's reservation. Obviously, Chris Paul knows some people. Curry goes over there, sees Paul. Curry says, okay, that's cool. I only need half of the court. I just want to get some shots up, but go a half. Chris Paul says, no, you're not getting on the court, period. Steph Curry got kicked out of the Toyota Center by Chris Paul. Chris Paul says, this is my house. You're not getting up any shots. You're out, man.
Well, it only took Curry a half to get going, so maybe in the locker room at the halftime, maybe Chris Paul was like, yeah, it worked. And then...
We all know what happened now in game number 6.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, Curry had nothing in the first half, 33 in the second half, 23 of those were in the fourth quarter to lead the Warriors to the victory, saying goodbye Houston once again. And as Curry was heading off to the locker room, he got a standing ovation from his team, from his coaches, and Curry was heard saying, kick me off the court again, boy! And then Draymond Green was there, and he shouted at Chris Paul from a distance, says, yeah, kick him off, kick him off. And the party ensued. But this is who Chris Paul is. And I've been saying this for a while now, and now it's all coming to fruition. This is not that guy that you see on the State Farm commercials, okay?
Not Cliff?
No, it's not Cliff. It's not Chris. It's not whoever, okay? The one, and this is what blows me away. And I think I posted this on Twitter a few days ago. I can't not recall another so-called media darling coming out of college early on, you know, well-spoken, nice guy that everyone really liked. I really thought Chris Paul was that guy. But what has happened to Chris Paul? He has turned into this classless complainer, whiner, instigator, trash talker, petty punk, and a downright dirty player. And we've seen this now. Downright dirty. Getting the tees, getting kicked out of one of those games with the Warriors. Just always complaining to the refs. I can't handle this guy anymore. No, this guy is evil. That's what he is. Who does this? His antics on the court are ridiculous. You're kicking somebody out. You have no authority to kick anybody out. This isn't his house.
Well, it is his house.
What's he think? He's running the set of the State Farm commercial?
Yes.
Him and Aaron Rodgers? Why is two of the people that I detest the most are in these State Farm commercials? Please, State Farm. I'm out of State Farm. I'm gone. I'm going to Farmers right now. I've had it.
Okay. You all right?
I can't stand this guy. I don't like his demeanor on the court. Kick kicking Steph Curry out. Who does this? Have you ever heard of such a story?
No, I've never heard of that, and it's childish. And I actually, my insurance actually, believe it or not, is through State Farm.
They're out.
But
come on, join me.
Yeah,
we're leaving those ham and eggers.
Yeah, but I don't like the farmers commercials. So believe it or not, it happened.
But you
farmers
like
has you covered.
Yeah, but that's J.K. Simmons. He's legendary. He's been in all kinds of great movies and shows.
I like Flo, even though.
You know, you're a Geico guy. You're always talking Geico. Take your little 15 minutes and go to Geico.
Yeah, but every time I call Geico, they're more expensive than everyone else. So I don't know where I'm saving the 15.
You just go for the commercials, okay?
The lizard, the gecko?
If we're going to leave for the commercials, you got to join for the commercials.
Yeah, but see, the problem is Geico has some really good commercials, but where they lost me was they changed the voice of the gecko about a year and a half ago.
But you don't like the gecko now?
No, I don't like the new gecko.
What is he, a British gecko or is he an Australian gecko?
I think he's a Brit.
Yeah. He's a Brit?
I think so.
Okay, he's out then.
Yeah,
I mean, you're a Liverpool guy. You don't like that?
Well, I don't like the fact that they changed the voice.
You just like the Mongolian guy. The guy on the airport going through the walkway.
Mongolian?
With
he's what a caveman.
The same what difference?
No, it's not. He's not Genghis Khan. He's a caveman.
Same difference.
No, it's
he goes to the Mongolian barbecue.
Didn't you study your Mongolian history when you were in high school?
I failed miserably. I took that class off.
Genghis Khan basically conquered half the world.
Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan. Maybe Kublai Khan.
Not Dingus Kong?
Not Dingus Kong, no. Oh, what are we doing?
You know exactly what we're doing. How about this one? You're going to love this story.
Well, I don't know how we could top Genghis Khan.
Milwaukee Bucks fans claim their drinks were spiked.
Oh.
I might be able to top this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fans watching the playoff victory over the Boston Celtics that were outside of the arena. They had a watch party, and they do this. Now, for those keeping score at home, do you know what they call the plaza outside of the new Bucks arena?
No clue.
The Deer District.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's a very Wisconsin thing, I'm guessing.
Oh, there's more coming at you here, my friend.
Oh, there's more Wisconsin stuff?
So on the plaza, I guess, to a certain degree. You can be the judge after I tell you this story. So they're on the plaza. These people are drinking in the Deer District, okay? About 10 people reported saying that they got sick from their drink. They blacked out and later got sick.
Ooh.
One particular drink was the culprit. What drink could that possibly be that they were serving in the Deer District in Milwaukee?
Well, it's Wisconsin, so I'm going to guess a beer. You know, I wonder if it was the guy who was trying to pick up Danica Patrick with Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick were at the game. No, I would guess beer.
It is not beer. Believe it or not, it is not beer. All right? And you're going to have to look this thing up because I have no idea what's in it.
Oh, it's some kind of Wisconsin concoction,
I've never heard of it in Wisconsin, but it's called the Moscow Mule.
Oh, I drink those.
Okay. What is that, vodka?
Yeah, it's vodka.
Moscow
Ginger
Mule.
Beer.
So they had a big pre-batch of Moscow Mule, and these people got sick. Now, here's one report.
You put it in the copper cup. It's good. It's delicious.
That's the deal?
Yeah.
That's why they're down. Okay. So this comes from a female. She filed a police report. Here's what the report says. It says, while enjoying the game, we purchased two Moscow Mules from the Absolute tent located closest to the beer garden. One in the first quarter, about 6:15 p.m. or so, and one in the third quarter around 7:15 or so. We had one single drink prior to this, roughly a half hour before the game started. Beginning shortly after the start of the fourth quarter, both of our memories, her and her friend, got incredibly blurred to the point neither one of us remembers much from the start of the fourth quarter until we got home. Lyft receipts say that they left at 8:46 to return home. Again, neither of us have a recollection of this at all. Once home, I ended up getting incredibly sick for the majority of the evening. Obviously, this is concerning since we both think there is a possibility that our drinks could have gotten sprinkled with something. We are not the types who have two drinks over the course of several hours and become non-functioning.
Well, you are from Wisconsin, so let's slow down on that. My guess is two probably means seven. And
you're saying these ladies are... I mean, okay, I know nothing about Moscow Mules.
No, it's...
How many of those before you get hammered?
Not two. Definitely not two. I mean,
you're thinking like three, four?
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink those to get hammered.
Well,
but
the story isn't about getting hammered. No, it's about somebody tainting their drink.
Yeah.
And how can two
over the course of a couple hours should not get anybody drunk.
So now authorities are investigating this. Haven't found anything yet as far as chemicals and this and that. But ongoing story there in Milwaukee.
That's very interesting. That's
the Moscow
not good.
Mule. You're advocate of that.
I like Moscow mules, yeah.
Okay.
They stay cold a long time because of the copper glass.
Wow, scary stuff, man.
All right. Let me ask you, if you were a Major League Baseball player, would you rather get 100 hits or 100 singles or 100 home runs first?
Well, I like the idea of getting 100 homers, but you know what that tells me? That tells me that I strike out a lot and I hit for a very low average.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to Joey Gallo, Las Vegas' own Joey Gallo, by the way.
Now,
I think he went to Green Valley. I could be mistaken.
Is he related to Jerry Callow?
No, he was not in My Cousin Vinny.
That's what I'm talking about. Where's the soundbite? Come on.
The two Utes?
Yes.
Yeah. He is not related to Jerry Callow, but he's Joey Gallo of the Texas Rangers. And last week, Gallo hit his 100th home run.
Right.
It's kind of a pretty cool accomplishment.
It was a monstrous shot at PNC Park, too.
It was at Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah.
Problem is, Gallo at the time only had 93 singles. Gallo, his career average is like 220, but he's got 100 home runs. I still don't know if he's got the 100 singles yet, but he also had 50 doubles. So he's probably on pace to have more doubles than singles in his career. Definitely more home runs than singles in his career. But Joey Gallo making Las Vegas proud with an unusual stat.
So let's put this in perspective here.
Yes.
Let's put this in a context, because there are a lot of guys who get 100 singles in a season.
Yeah.
Last year, Gene Segura had 136 singles.
Yes.
Think about that. All right. Dee Gordon had 170 singles back in 2017. You've mentioned it. Joey Gallo has 93 in his five-year career.
Yes.
This guy's played 5 years.
Yes.
He only has 93 singles.
He's averaging, and that first year he only played half the season, but he's averaging about 30 singles a season.
So you said he has got the lowest number of singles of anybody who's hit 100 homers, right?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
So do you know what the next lowest is? Take a wild guess if you don't know.
He's the next lowest, probably 100 and something, probably 125, 130 singles.
172. And I've got a list for you, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll like this, all right? Fewest career singles at the time of 100 of your 100th career home run prior to Joey, not Jerry, Gallo or Callow.
Yes.
Your boy, Russell Branigan.
Oh.
Not related to Laura.
Yes.
Which we're going to need that song here momentarily, too. 172. Russell Branigan at 172. Your boy at 174. Take a wild guess. Former New York Yankee, Minnesota Twin. Who would that be?
Chuck Knobloch.
No, Knobloch was a good contact hitter. Ken Phelps.
Don't even know who he is. No.
You don't know Ken Phelps?
No, he stinks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two after that, 176. Your Philadelphia Philly. Strikeout King. World Series champion.
Dave Kingman. No, he never played for the Phillies.
No, but he's on the list, too.
Come
on, first base.
Von Hayes.
No! Your boy Ryan Howard.
Oh! Yeah, that's right, yeah.
After that, Las Vegas, Chris Carter.
You know what? I know Chris Carter.
179?
Sierra Vista High School,
Get him on the show. There you go.
I don't know him that well.
And then Dave Kingman is 180. And what do these guys all have in common? What do they have in common? They're like
all first basemen?
Well, no, they're all strikeout kings.
Yeah.
Strikeout kings. And Joey Gallo, what's the number of his strikeouts? They've got to be way up there, too.
Oh, he had a ton. Yeah, I think he had like 200-something strikeouts.
That's utterly crazy, that stat.
I think he had 240-something career hits at the time, and 100 of them were home runs.
Wow. Would you want Joey Gallo on your team?
No.
Hmm. All right, my friend. Swift Jared Hurd. Remember, we had Swift Jared Hurd on the program. We were at the Hard Rock and junior middleweight champion.
This is BC before Chris.
No. Jared Hurd, Hard Rock. That was last year. You were probably on vacation. You're probably in a kayak in the in Mongolia. I don't know where you're at.
As opposed to this summer where I'll be in temples in Thailand.
Very nice. So. All right, so Swift Jarrett Hurd is playing Julian J-Rock Williams. They're actually fighting, actually, last Saturday night. So the weigh-in was on Friday. Junior middleweight limit, 154 pounds. J-Rock gets on the scale, weighs in at 154 and one quarter pound. Jimmy Lennon Jr. is on the mic, and he says J-Rock has 2 hours to lose a quarter of a pound, or else he's not going to get a chance to fight for the title. He's got 2 hours, right?
Yes.
So what does J-Rock do?
He says, sticks his finger down his throat.
He says, good one. He says, forget that. I'm not going to go in a sauna. I'm not going to do this, right? So you know what they do next? They say, maybe the scale's wrong, something like that. No. They bring out the big towel, right? Drop your drawers. Bring out the big towel so we cover it, right?
Oh.
So he drops his drawers. Within 20 seconds later, he steps back on the scale. And this time he weighs 153 and three quarter pounds. The fight is on. What kind of underwear weighs a half of a pound? Please explain that to me. You're Mr. Fruit of the Loom.
No, I'm not.
Do you know, jockey, whatever in the heck you're wearing, Calvin Klein is too expensive for you. Underwear, a half of a pound. You drop your drawers and all of a sudden you just lost a half a pound. There's something wrong here.
Well, first of all, to quote Run DMC, Calvin Klein ain't no friend of mine. Don't want nobody's name on my behind. But, that's unbelievable.
You sure that's not tricky?
No. It's, it is a Run DMC. I think it's Rockbox, right? Is it Rockbox?
Could be Rockbox.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But a half a pound? The guy lost half a pound by taking off his drawers?
Yes. Yes.
What's he got? What the hell's he got in there?
That's what I want to know. What's going on? So, when it was all said and done here, they went through the fight, and guess who won?
Swift?
No, J-Rock.
J-Rock, huh?
Upset him at plus $5, plus 500, underdog. And the good news now is, so he's got the belt. He can now afford to go buy some better drawers.
Yeah, probably a little bit lighter. That's crazy.
Exactly. he can buy some lighter underwear, but unbelievable that watching that weigh-in, I was crazy.
Well, you know tonight is the NBA draft lottery.
And correct.
Normally, teams that are in the lottery will send someone of relevance up there when they pull out the card. You know, the Knicks are going to send Patrick Ewing, the Suns, DeAndre Ayton, Bulls, Horace Grant. Then you maybe get some owners like the Lakers, or excuse me, like the Grizzlies are sending Elliot Perry up there. You know who the Hawks are putting up on the podium?
Okay, well, they should send Dominique Wilkins.
It is not Dominique Wilkins.
Okay, then it's got to be Cliff Roundtree.
It is not Cliff Roundtree.
It's got to be the mascot, whatever that is, Herc the Hawk.
No, it is not the Hawk.
It's not the Hawk. I get one more guess. Is it a former player?
No, it is not a former player.
Jeez. Who is it?
What if I told you this person was in an episode of Seinfeld, and she played Jerry's girlfriend who worked as a phone sex operator.
Phone sex operator. That wasn't Mulva or whatever her name was. He couldn't remember the girl's name, right?
No.
It wasn't...
She was also in the
stand-up comedian?
No. She was also in The Lost Boys as Kiefer Sutherland's girlfriend.
Probably lost me on that one.
She was in Less Than Zero.
Okay.
She was also in the television show Square Pegs.
Okay. And her name is?
Jamie Gertz! The actress,
yes!
Jamie Gertz, is going up to represent the Atlanta Hawks tonight.
Why?
In the draft lottery.
Why? Is she a part owner?
She actually is. Jamie Gertz, the actress from the 1980s and early 90s, is actually co-owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
So how is this bad?
It's not bad.
Terrible Tuesday. It's not terrible.
No, it is, because you have former players, you have Alvin Gentry, coach of the Pelicans, and Jamie Gertz.
Can she wear like one of the old school Hawk jerseys? Remember the red with the gold, the slanted Hawks? They were like slanted.
Not the green, yellow, not the green, blue, and white.
Green. The Hawks are never green. What are you talking about?
The
shorts.
But the Hawks used to have green and blue jerseys.
What are you talking about? They've never had green and blue jerseys. I'm calling you out on this one.
I will pull it up in the break and show you.
Okay, are you talking about some one-off type of thing?
No,
some St. Patrick's Day promotion that went bad?
No,
there's
of course
no way. They never wore any green, blue, or unless it was just some goofy one-off.
No, the Atlanta Hawks used to wear goofy Atlanta jerseys. They were
red and gold, red and white all the time.
Blue and green. Blue with the throwback blue and green.
Okay, I got no time for this. I got to get to more important stuff as we close out with TV time.
Always.
There you go. Guess who's back, my friend, on my TV? The WATL is back.
Axe Throwing League?
The Axe Throwing League is back on my television last weekend. This time, it was the Canadian Open. It wasn't in a bar. No, this time, get this, it was in an arena. An empty arena somewhere in Canada. There could not have been more than 28 people in this arena. These guys were stomping on the bleachers like you would do it like at a men's slow pitch beer league softball game. It was embarrassing. They had sawdust all over the floor, barrels of hay. This was a joke. But some things stay the same in the axe throwing league, like the do-it-all guy who runs this thing, who I always talk about, the referee who looks like Napoleon Dynamite. You know what I'm talking about. That Hammond Egger run around with his little clipboard. So he was there. The same six-tooth people throwing axes. And yes, they're still on the worldwide leader of ESPN on a weekend going against NBA basketball, Major League Baseball. This is on my television. It's sickening. But it must be working. You know why I think it's working? Because they got guys like you that are now going to their local axe throwing venues.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm going to my axe.
You went. You told me all about it.
I did throw the axe.
And you went because of a terrible Tuesday story weeks ago.
Yes, I had to do it. I had the opportunity to do it, so I had to do it. And I'll tell you, it's all in the way you step forward. There's a certain art to throwing the axes.
But do you want to see it on television?
No. I was so good at it, though, that I literally hit my axe with an X axe that I threw. Hit it right in the middle. Knocked it out. So I don't know if I get points for that or not. But
probably. It's probably like bocce ball. You don't get any points.
Yeah,
or curling.
Yeah. Not
probably
good.
Get it. Okay, so what's worse? That or what I saw for the first time this weekend? And I don't know if you've seen it or not.
Cricket.
I like cricket. It lasts for 16 days.
That's
Spartan Championships.
Oh, I know what that is. That's like my son does that type of thing. Oh. Isn't that like the guys running in the mud and they have to go up ramps and swing across ropes?
Yeah, the world largest obstacle course is how they bill it. These Hammond Eggers were running through grass fields. They were in Seattle. It was pouring rain. Then the next episode, they're in Malaysia or somewhere, Morocco. I don't know where it was. Something with an M. These guys are, you're right, running through mud. They're running through forests. This is what lost me. And when I tell you this portion, you're going to lose it. I lost. I couldn't believe it. They're running like for 4 miles. Then they got to go jump over things. The obstacle course. They're playing on monkey bars. And then they have to stop. They have to come to a complete stop and go through a PE class. They had to drop and give you 30 burpees. Remember the term, or are you too young for burpees?
No, I don't know what a burpee is.
Well, they're still using the term burpees, and these are all millennials are doing it, so they must still do it in PE class. The burpee where you kind of, it's like a cheer. Like you drop down like football grass drills. You drop down, you touch your knees, you get up, you go down, and that's one.
Okay.
Drop down, boom, boom. They call them burpees because they make you burp because you do too many of them. And they're saying, oh, she's got to do her burpees. She didn't do 30 burpees. She can't continue with the obstacle course on the monkey bars. This is insane. I can't believe that my television is getting this and that I have to be, I got to watch this stuff. It makes me sick.
Yeah,
it's How can this be on television?
It's not a sport. It's a gym class activity.
God. Now, these guys are athletes. I'll give them that. The axe throwers, the Overwatch League, the guys are doing the drones. They're not athletes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So these guys are athletes. I'll give them kudos for that. But I don't want to watch this.
No, who does?
Jeez.
Even guys who do that stuff, their mothers don't even want to watch that.
Oh, good point. All right. Terrible Tuesday takes. Hit us on Twitter, TCMartin21, Fox Sports LV. Give us your Terrible Tuesday takes as well. All right. We got some NBA Summer League tickets we'll give away here. Coming up next segment, Albert Hall will join us as we talk about one of the most popular events to happen in the summertime here in Las Vegas. Get ready for NBA playoffs tonight. CG Technology mobile app, that is your home for the best wagering options, in-game wagering options, new and improved app. Get signed up if you don't already have it at one of the fantastic CG Technology Sportsbooks. Get signed up over at the Silverton, the Palms, the Venetian Plaza, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, and the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. It's betting made easy. It's a CG Technology mobile app, and fantastic places to watch the games, too, including our home over there at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. That place should be jumping tonight as we've got game number one between the Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers. What is going to happen in this contest tonight? All right. So my thought, in theory, when it comes to this game tonight, Portland, big-time emotional victory on the road on Sunday when they had to go in altitude to Denver. They beat the Nuggets on the road, a game where they were down 17 points, came all the way back to win that contest, close out the series. And now they've got to get the Warriors, who had a little bit more rest than them, who closed out the Rockets in six games. Warriors sitting at home, waiting. So tonight is game number one. Blazers got to be tired, a little bit of an emotional letdown, you would think. And when you look, and we talked about this with Scott Spreitzer yesterday, when you start looking at the Portland backcourt, Love, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, we have the pride of Weber State and Lehigh. Can't say that about too many places. You got that kind of a backcourt with two small schools, but two great players. But neither one of these guys, they don't do it at the same time. Usually one guy has a great game, the other guy a little subpar. And that's exactly what happened in Sunday's game, where Lillard was ice cold, but McCollum had 37, went nuts. And when you look at CJ McCollum, he's averaging 26 points, shooting 46% from the field this postseason. He's had four 30-point games. Now, if him and Lillard can get it going together, then the Blazers have a legitimate shot, especially going against the Warriors without Kevin Durant. However, I just haven't seen the Blazers click with both these guys on in the same game. Now, it brings us to the front court, which I think Portland is at a huge disadvantage here. Even though the Warriors aren't huge up front, but the way the Warriors score, where they can score inside and outside, the Blazers are so reliant on their guard play and from their perimeter game. So if their guards are not hitting, it's going to be a problem. Rodney Hood, as we saw, he got injured on Sunday. Their leading three-point shooter comes off the bench. He's more than likely out. He's listed as doubtful for tonight's game. Enes Kanter, who's going through Ramadan right now, cannot eat from sun up to sun down. That's got to be very, very tough. And we saw there were moments in this series that he struggled, looked a little fatigued. So I think with all that being said, game one is a great opportunity for the Warriors to take care of business tonight. And it wouldn't surprise me if they win going away tonight. Now, these two teams, they've split four regular season meetings. And a lot of times let's throw out the regular season, especially when you're talking about the Warriors, because as we know, the Warriors are a different team in the regular season compared to the postseason. And I really throw this out because these two teams have not faced each other since right before the All-Star break. So it's been a long time for two teams that used to be in the same division, not facing each other for a long, long time. So that's the way I see tonight. Warriors, I don't know, 112-96, something like that. We'll see. And I think Portland can make a series out of this, like Golden State in six. I heard some other people saying Golden State in five. I like Golden State in six. All right, speaking of the NBA, we've got our good friend Albert Hall with us, the director of the NBA Summer League. A fantastic time, a spectacle here in Las Vegas, one of the most popular events that we have here in the city. It'll take place again this summer, July 5th through the 15th. 11 days, 83 games in all. Albert, what's going on, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today? I appreciate you pumping us up and getting excited about Summer League. I
always look forward to it, Albert. You know, you had all 30 teams there last year. This year, you got a little added twist to it. Not only do you have all 30 NBA teams, but we've got the Chinese and the Croatian national teams. I'm a little excited about that. I have to bust out my Croatian. Can I bust out my Croatian soccer jersey, Albert?
Bring it, bring it. We love it. You know, fly those Croatian colors proudly. Yeah, we're excited. We bring in a little international flavor. As you know, the NBA is a global game and have a huge footprint across the globe and a ton of fans both in China and Croatia's had a lot of success, a number of players in the league. And it was really our way to kind of keep up with the times. China's actually been a part of the league for a couple of years, just observing and doing some scrimmages behind the scenes. And then our goal is to really make the last spot that Croatia has more of a rotating wild card spot, so next year we'll have a different country participating.
Is that to make it kind of even for scheduling? That way you're having 32 teams, more of a true like kind of a bracket format then when you get to the playoffs?
True, that's exactly it, and I mean it's always easier with that even number. And to have 32, I mean our format will change a little bit this year. We'll announce our schedule in June, but essentially, teams will play four games preliminary and then be seeded into the playoffs. So it'll play out really well and, you know, a nonstop action all the way through until the finals on July 15th.
All right. This has become a must-attend event here in Las Vegas. People look forward to this. People in the media love covering this probably more than anything else. But it's like going to a state fair. That's why I kind of equate it to, Albert.
I like it. Yeah. No, I mean, hey, it's a festival atmosphere. And really, when we first started Summer League, you know, we had no idea that it would grow to this scale, and we're very thankful with the NBA and partners like MGM and Nike and Gatorade and some of the folks that we have. And really what we've done now is made it a fan experience for everybody involved. The idea is that if you come to Summer League, you're an insider, and that's really the feeling that the fans have. There's nonstop up to 10 games per day, so there's always action going on. There's always activity in the concourse. You never know who you're going to run into. I remember a couple years ago I asked the fan to sit in courtside to maybe move over a seat, and he's like, why? I said, I'm going to put LeBron James right next to you. So you never know who you're going to run into, and that's kind of the beauty and the fun atmosphere at Summer League.
You set an attendance record last year, 139,000 fans, close to 140, 139,972 to be exact, a single day record of 17,500. It just keeps getting better and better. And like you said, the thing has grown. Now all 30 NBA teams are there. It's just a great spectacle, and you can go check it out at the Thomas and Mack Center Cox Pavilion, July 5th through the 15th. Albert Hall, the director, is joining us. National TV also, Albert. I mean,
yeah,
fans get a
ESPN,
chance.
I mean, we've jumped in and amped up our game across all the platforms. Last year we had over 560 million views across the globe. And so that was like a number that, wow, we were kind of just blown away with. As you mentioned, 140,000 fans in attendance. You know, there's something for everybody, and for a $35 ticket for adults plus some fees, and you get to see all that action. It's really the best value in sport. And with the big names that we have each year, you know, this year we have a lot of big names. Obviously, there's a couple at the top of the draft board that'll probably be there with Zion and Ja Morant, which will be a huge draw. And then a lot of the bounce back guys from second year players like Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter and Kevin Knox and Michael Porter Jr., guys like that. So there's always a good game at Summer League. That is the beauty. I mean, no matter what, it's entertainment, but it's always about basketball for us. We've never lost sight of that. So whether you want to watch a game in Cox Arena and have it just pumping, and that's like one of the best small venues you could possibly imagine, to, you know, taking center stage on something like Thomas and Mack and having 17,000 fans there. I mean, there's a little something for everybody, and we've offered a reserve season ticket this year so you can guarantee your seat.
Excellent stuff. Give me one memorable moment that kind of stands out for you over the years. I know there's probably plenty, but just kind of share with our listeners a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of them. I mean, I can remember when Blake Griffin came out and everybody was really excited to see him play, and he didn't disappoint, just the athleticism, the power. You know, Kevin Durant, I remember here's a skinny, young, 6'11" guy who could do everything. But for me, the number one moment I always go back to is when Lin Sanity was created with Jeremy Lin. You know, we had John Wall, a number one pick, packed house that sold out in Cox Pavilion, and here comes Jeremy Lin out of nowhere and stole the show. It was just a really cool moment, and something that really, you know, set the tone for everybody every year. I mean, Summer League provides that opportunity to really, you know, steal the spotlight and make the stage your own. And each year we're looking for a player who could potentially do that, you know, and every year we're a DeAndre Ayton last year, you know, he had a good showing as number one pick and Bagley and all these guys. And then, you know, you look at a guy like Trae Young, who really just as the league went on, he kind of took notice that said, hey, you know what, I can play here. I'm a big time player as well. So along with Colin Sexton, you know, those guys were very good last year.
Yeah, you get to see the first-year players, the second-year players. And for UNLV diehards, they get a chance to see guys coming back as well, too, that maybe they haven't seen in quite a while. You know, Rashad Vaughn has been here, and other guys like that, you know, year in and year out, they come back as well, too. So
we love our Rebels.
Yeah,
every year,
absolutely.
You know, we have at least one or two Rebels in the league. And, you know, this year shouldn't be, I don't think, any different. We'll have a couple, probably a guy like Brandon McCoy will make his way onto a roster. And, you know, some of the guys that were on the squad this year, we're pulling for the Rebels as always. We're excited about Coach Otzelberger and, you know, obviously make this a part of Vegas as it always is with Summer League. But we embrace UNLV. We wouldn't be here today without the people that paved that way at Thomas and Mack and the UNLV basketball.
Well, we look forward to it, Albert. We love broadcasting the show out there on the concourse. It's been a ritual the last few years, so we enjoy that. We appreciate all your help and, you know, just being supportive all the way around, and that's what we want fans to do because they love it. This, like I said, it's an atmosphere that is unlike anything else. We talked about the on-the-court stuff, and you mentioned LeBron James. You know, you see Steve Kerr. You see all of these great, you know, current coaches, past players that come. You're walking down the concourse, people are getting a hot dog, some nachos, and they're bumping into their idols, they're taking pictures. It's just a great atmosphere, period.
That's the beauty, and we try to keep that energy, that excitement every day as we come into the building. There's something new to get excited about, and at the end of the day, Summer League is a place where everyone can say that they saw it first.
All right.
And as an insider, that's what we strive for.
Tell fans how they can get their tickets.
Go to UNLVtickets.com or NBAtickets.com. Go on sale tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., 702-739-FANS, or go by Thomas and Mack box office. We'll be ready to go at 10 a.m.
10 a.m. tomorrow. Albert, we appreciate it. We look forward to talking with you as we get closer.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the support, guys.
There it is, Albert Hall, NBA Summer League, here in Vegas, July 5th through the 15th. 11 days, 83 games. It's fantastic. We've got a pair of tickets to give to you right now. Give us a call, 876-1340. Let's take caller number 12. We'll take caller number 12. And I'm tempted to throw out a Pete Maravich trivia question as well, too. But, you know, we'll make it easy on it. Caller number 12, 876-1340, NBA Summer League tickets. Any day during the session from July 5th through the 15th, you get to go. 876-1340. All right, back with more T.C. Martin Show on Fox. All right, shout out to Tim Kylander for a winner. He's going to go to the NBA Summer League, his pick, July 5th through the 15th. Always a great spectacle, the Thomas and Mack Center and the Cox Pavilion, NBA Summer League on the way. I want to thank Albert Hall for joining us. JT the Brick coming up here in a matter of moments. Mr. New York, he's got his blue, he's got his orange on. I think he's even got his Yankee underwear on today. I don't know. I'm not looking. But I know that you're excited about the NBA draft lottery, as you almost should be every year, because you're so used to the futility of that franchise. But you're pumped up, aren't you, man?
This is one of the biggest nights of my recent life as a Knick fan, because there's so much at stake. And in the next 2 hours, I think an hour and a half into the show will be the pick. So I'm going to be a basket case the whole day, because everything for the Knicks, it's a can't miss. If they get Zion, they have the face of the franchise going forward in New York at the Garden. They don't have to pay him a lot on the rookie deal. He sets the tone for the Knicks to be great. I think Zion's a can't miss player. If they don't get Zion, and they have the 2 or 3 pick, they have to trade that pick, and they should be the front runner for Anthony Davis, because New Orleans will want to trade with that pick, And the Knicks have some equity that they can move around. And then they'd go down the road of going after Durant, Kyrie, on top of Anthony Davis, because they have the spot for two max deals right out of the gate. So there's no more excuses for the Knicks. They have the highest percentage to win the lottery. They have two max contract spaces available after moving Porzingis. It would be an epic disaster if everything fell apart tonight in the next 2 hours. And there's a chance, because, TC, it's a lottery. And even though they have the highest percent chance to win, what happens if the ping pong balls drop a certain way and they have the fifth pick or the fourth pick? It'll be a disaster for them.
You've got Patrick Ewing vision coming right back at you, don't you?
I'm locked in. I'm completely guaranteeing it. I don't guarantee it. I'm guaranteeing you. Number one pick tonight for my Knicks. We're getting Zion. I'm going into the garage. I'm taking out all my old Knicks gear that has been stored in the back of my garage, and I'll be wearing those 1996 sweatsuits and making them fashionable again.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, I would love to see the Knicks be relevant again. Seriously. I've always loved it when the Knicks were good. The electricity, as you know, in that garden.
Yeah.
You know, the world's most famous arena is great, but it has been void. And for a lot of these millennials, they have no idea what the Knicks used to be.
No. And if you go back to my dad's age, when he was going to see the Knicks win in the 70s and win their back-to-back championships, I grew up as an 80s Knicks fan and a 90s Knicks fan, and I put my life into those teams. They were close a number of times. They were the team that would have won the NBA title if they beat Jordan, and Jordan always had to go to game six, and those were tough, tough, epic battles. So I remember putting in all that sweat equity and getting nothing out of it. And the rest of my life as a fan, I've gotten a lot out of fandom, except for the Knicks. That's the big void in my life.
Right. Did you have the John Starks jersey that you wore, the number three?
I was a big Ewing guy, an Anthony Mason guy. I like Starks. You know, remember the worst moment, I believe, in modern Knicks history was when Starks went 1-17 and shot them out of a championship. Yeah. They were going to beat Houston. Right. And Pat Riley in that game couldn't bench Starks. All he had to do was bench him and say, it's not your night. You're shooting us out of the game. And he did. So for everybody who loves John Starks, if he would have made 4 or 5 or 6 out of 17, which isn't a great percentage, Knicks would have easily won that championship.
Yeah. And if you go way back old school, you go to Walt Clyde Frazier and Earl Monroe back to the 70s, my man. That's when you go back.
That's Earl Monroe, Clyde Frazier, Dave DeBuscher, Dollar Bill Bradley, Willis Reed, Phil Jackson, who was
absolutely
a very good bench player back in the day. But, you know, it's about the Garden, because the Knicks, we've seen San Antonio. We've seen smaller markets. We got Portland tonight. But if the Garden is rocking again with Zion in that blue and orange and white, and people are getting out of cabs and getting off the train an hour before the game to get in there early, and Celebrity Row is packed again with Howard Stern, Seinfeld, Jay-Z, it'll be great. But as you started off by saying, they typically screw this
they
up.
They do. That's why I can't get excited. I love your passion for it.
I'm passionate about it, man.
But that's the way I was with the Cubs for all those years as well. It's like it's eventually going to go south in some way. Whether it's Game 7, Game 6, or at the end of the regular season, it's going to go south some way. So I'm rooting for you, my man.
This is the biggest free agent class we've had in 10 years.
It is.
Right? So either way, teams are going to be able to improve themselves via free agency. It's going to come down to where Kawhi wants to go, where does Kyrie want to go, and who gets those ping pong balls tonight, because they could trade out of those ping pong balls to get set up for free agency. It's going to be exciting.
Draft lottery tonight, and then right before the Warriors and Blazers tip it off in Oakland for game number one. Thanks, brother. Have a good show.
You
okay?
too, bud. Thank
JT
you.
Coming up next. Hang tight for that. Join us tomorrow. Al Bernstein will join us. Talk heavyweight bout at the Barclays Center coming up this weekend. That and a whole lot more coming your way. We'll see you tomorrow for Magnum. TC Martin saying so long. JT's up next. Hang tight right here on Fox.